All right. Praise the Lord. Testing a 1, 2, 3. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. I don't think it's carrying down there yet. How much louder should we go? Or should I grab the handheld and put it close? Can you guys hear me all way down there by the wall? So if I don't shout, is it still conversational? All right, I think we're okay. If you start not hearing me, I have a handheld that I can switch to. And we have a bit of an echo, but it's not too bad. All right, well, it's good to have you guys here. It's been a long time since we've been together as Kingdom Builders, and it's exciting to see what God's been doing. And so I've been looking forward to tonight for a while, and but let's pray, and then I don't even know all the things I need to share and want to share and what I should get into, so we'll just feel our way through all the data. Thank you, God. Father, thank you for your presence here tonight. Thank you that as we come together as Kingdom Builders, that you are in the midst of us, that you are a God who answers. You're never silent. You're never holding anything back. You're always bringing wisdom. It's shouting aloud in every one of our lives and every decision that we make. Father, I pray that tonight that you just help me to share what's on my heart. I pray that for each person here, that Father, they'll go away with a peace that passes understanding, goes beyond understanding. And Father, I pray that nuggets from you and from your Spirit will be planted in our heart. And Father, we'll be guided in all that we do. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's exciting when you look back and you see the hand of God in our lives. Sometimes it's really good to just stop and remind yourself what has God done in our lives. In the Old Testament, it was like they would always thank God for three things. If you notice, they would sing that song. We put music to some of their stuff, like the horse and rider thrown into the sea. They would praise him about what he had done about taking them out of Egypt. They'd praise him about what they were in the middle of right now. And then they would praise him for what he was going to do. And I stick to that. I did a message on that years ago. And I've always stuck to that. When I praise God, when I thank him, I've found that it really solidifies my heart when I go, God, I want to thank you. And then I start listing the miracles that come to my heart and mind. I don't care how far back. Someone said, well, my miracles are a ways back. Listen, the newest miracle in the Bible is 2,000 years old, and it still builds faith. And so it's good to go back and say, thank you for what you did in that job. Thank you what you did for this daughter in the womb. Thank you for what you did here at Springs when we needed land. Thank you, Father. And as you thank him, something happens to you. And then you start thanking him for what you're in the middle of right now. Father, I want to thank you. And you start declaring and thanking him in advance, even though you're in the middle of it. And then it's important to thank him for the future, because too many of us sometimes get so caught up in the now, we don't superimpose the word of God on our future, which is what prophesying is. So many people forget that. They think prophesying is God showing you your future, or is prophesying you declaring and making your future. It's probably an area that in religion and Christianity that I see that there's a difference of opinion. You know, those there are some who feel that everything's just set. What happens, it was God's will, which I don't adhere to. I know that when you look at many of the things in Scripture, they are fixed. Like the devil's not going to win regardless, right? Like the world's not going to be destroyed by any kind of foreign body flying through space. You know, we've got the word on some things. But as far as our personal lives go, much of what goes on in our future will be what we have been prophesying, what we have been believing. So this thanking God in all three areas, and you can't thank quietly. You can't thank him just to yourself. Well, I'm just thankful at heart. Well, if you notify your face, and there's something about the thanking of God that it just does something. And there's a verse in Jude that talks, it says, building yourself up on your most holy faith. And that's what this Thanksgiving in these three time zones does. Past, present, and future. And when things get a little tighter, when they get a little more stressed, I just do more of that. You know, I'll often talk to pastors, and you've heard me say that before, and they'll say, well, you must have really gone through suffering for God to trust you with what you've got. And I kind of go, I don't get that line of thinking. No, actually, no. Wow, how much time do you spend in prayer? Well, I probably pray less than you. And they kind of go, what? Now, I'm always praying, you know, but it's not this begging, bugging prayer. So much of my prayer is thanking in those three time zones. And then at the same time, it's an inquiring prayer. It's a meditative prayer of reading, studying, saying, God, what are you trying to show me? And he speaks to me through the craziest things, a movie, a kid's cartoon, something you say to me on the way out, not the prophecy, but you know, the joke you told me. It's amazing how God will just grab and begin to speak and cause things to rise up in your spirit. When you go today, we have a gift I want to give you guys by Preston Manning, who wrote a new book called Do Something. And 365 things that you can do. On the back, across the top, he just said this: democracy in Canada is in deep trouble. I agree with him. And as you can tell from my last 2 weeks' messages, that if you think for a minute that as Christians we shouldn't be a part of the solution, we are going to be a part of the solution. Enough cursing the darkness. Enough cursing people for, you know, just let's get up and be a part of the solution. Let's help our men and women in the trenches that are God appointed and God anointed. And so we're going to be doing more about that as well in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to share two things, kind of. I've just been struggling with what to share. I want to share a little bit about what I see around me, and then I want to share with you a message from God's Word, and I won't do two messages and really bore you, but we'll keep it within the time frame. I notice something as I see leadership around the world, America, Canada, that I'll just call authoritarianism. It's like it's just been rising up, where people who were in authority is just, wah! And people immediately feel cowed. They feel, oh, they back down, they back off. And we need to be very aware, you know, as we go through different messages and we talk about leadership. When it comes to authoritarianism, this taking authority and going too far with it, or taking authority and manipulating, pounding away at people with it, it's such an old, when you study leadership in countries, it's not new to any of us. You always introduce fear. And then when you become more authoritative, people actually want that. When you do a study on leadership, one of the things I might talk about one of these Sundays, I'll probably run out of time, but in Samuel chapter 8, 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 7 to 20, is God's discussion about them having a king instead of a prophet. And that's not the purpose of this, but it shows you in this conversation that people want a leader to set them free. People want a leader to make their decisions. They want somebody to come in and just look after everything so I don't have to do anything. And that is where the Israelites were as they looked around and they saw other countries with kings, and all they got was a prophet telling them what God wanted. Isn't that crazy? And so humans, they tend to want the quickest, simplest way to deal with somebody. And that will be get the right person in power. Well, I promise you, the right person in power is not going to be enough. And because we live in a democracy, even if you get the government fixed up the way you want it, in a democratic country, they're going to vote in somebody else eventually, and you got the problem all over again. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later as to as what we should do. But I begin to notice that things like free speech, a free exchange of ideas, is no longer tolerated in our society. And yes, we've got government authoritarianism, and some people in government will just do what they're going to do. And you kind of go, are you going to talk to anybody about this? But there's also a cultural authoritarianism, I'm going to call it, that I'm noticing too, where in our culture, just be quiet, be nice, don't make people feel bad, have coffee and just smile, suck it up. And there's this pressure on the whole nation to just be nice. And as Canadians, that's already one of our biggest problems. The media has changed. They no longer are reporting things. They're just on the hunt to search and destroy. They don't care who it is. Could be a government person, could be somebody else. It's no longer what we know media is needed for in a free country. Everywhere you look, you find this assault. Even during the season that we've gone through with COVID, there was a ton of other things that were going on governmentally. And a lot of the stuff that has been decided by leaders, we're believing and hoping that it's not going to set a precedent. And I'm thankful that there's a lot of legal action taking place. You don't hear much about it because the only thing on the news is the left. And they're not going to give any hope anywhere that maybe there's some change or there's some things going on. They just want silence. People often ask me, do you think there's a conspiracy? Well, there's always been a conspiracy. We know that there's a kingdom of darkness. And when you study through history and the Old Testament, that this kingdom of darkness is always trying to work on leaders and countries, always. Then we have the kingdom of God's Son, the kingdom of light, that when Jesus was the first born again, he was raised from the dead, he was the firstborn. We have the kingdom of light now alive on this planet. And that's a whole nother message when you realize that. But these two spiritual kingdoms have a stake in what is going on this planet. And to forget that, I was listening to two brilliant men debate, and they were talking. One was a Jew and one was a Christian, quasi, I'm not sure, but beliefs in the Bible. And they were talking about how that the healthiest people and kids you can raise up are the ones who believe in actual evil. And then they went through things like PTSD, and it was an amazing conversation as they talked about that us knowing the truth that while we live on this planet, we believe God with our faith, we make wise decisions with what we do, and that there is evil on this planet. You can't just think that, like socialism, if you divide everything up to everybody and everybody has the same house, same country, same beachfront, same money, same, that there's going to be no more hatred, murder, rape, theft. No, that's not going to happen. And so there's a kingdom of darkness that is at work. And so you'll hear the word woke, and you'll hear the word CRT, and there's a lot of terms out there, social justice. By the way, all these terms are changed. They don't mean what you think they mean. So don't use them unless you've done some research and you know what these words mean. But when it comes to these elites, this left, whatever terms, there's so many terms, and you don't know which term to use anymore because these meetings are, these words and these are changed. You've got to understand that the majority is still people who want freedom, or they wouldn't be trying so hard. There wouldn't be this assault on be quiet, trying to embarrass you with the news media, you know, from the woke people, and just trying to get you to be quiet because you don't know how to say it, you don't know how to say it right. And so the dirty little secret is that they're the minority. And if they can get us to be quiet, then they'll establish what they want. As you study different experts on democracies and on the public people, they'll tell you that the minority can easily run the majority if they can just get them to be silent. I was reading one guy, he said that 20% of the population, if they'll do these types of, and he starts explaining what's going on right now, they'll run a country unless the majority speaks up, unless they begin to have an opinion, unless you don't care about, you just coined a word, good for you, but I don't care about that word. Let me tell you what I think using my own words, and you can begin to change things. We've been silenced. You've been silenced. And the thing I hear the most from people is, tell me how to talk about it. What do we talk about? And it's been going on for quite a while. We're going to be quiet about this. We're going to be quiet about that. It doesn't mean that we have to pound away at it. It just means that at some point, we have to know what to stand up about. For example, when people come to our church, we tell them, we love you the way you are. We accept you the way you are. We forgive each other when we hurt each other. But no, you can't teach our children in our school what you want, right? So at some point, LAF isn't for your entire life. It's for unbelievers coming to church. Okay? Recognize that as unbelievers come to church, we love them the way they are. We accept them the way they are. And we forgive them when they hurt us. But that guy's got a baseball bat and he's coming in your house. It's not going to be, hey, I love you the way you are. I accept you in my house the way you are. No. And so we need to just kind of get back to some common sense and recognize that we have a country worth voting for. We have a country worth getting involved in the process about. We have a country that's worth talking about in your coffee shops and in where you go, and whether it's phoning or writing a letter to your MLA and your MP, like getting involved in this process requires us talking. Because if you get silenced, then the people who talk, everybody thinks that's how everybody feels. Because it's the only thing being talked about. And so when the majority starts to talk with wisdom, when the majority begin to speak up, and if you don't know how to say it, then read a few books. Talk to somebody who's good at it. And be able. People are the most, the most asked question I get right now from everybody is, what do I do? And then they give me a scenario that has to do with masks, has to do with the jab, has to do with their work saying this, or what are we going to do there? And I always tell them the same thing. I said, I can't tell you what to do. You've got a God. You talk with Him. And when you pray about your circumstance and your situation, God will guide you. And I said, so you're going to have to make decisions on your career and your health. All right. But the second decision you have to make, that is, what about the future? What about your kids? What about your grandkids? And so I love that we live in Canada. I love Canada. It's the best, it's not the best form of government, because when we get to heaven, God is going to be the best government. But until then, we're going to have to work the process. And so as we look at the things going on around us, there's things that I can point out, things that I go, wow, look at that we need to be aware of. Like, it's kind of interesting to me, it's awful, that in places like New York, they would okay people walking the pavement for social rights and say that this is very important, while you couldn't be with somebody while they died. So you can go walk the streets, and they actually, as I was reading some of the articles, they actually made motions, and one I was reading about was New York, that it's really important that people are allowed to walk, to picket, to, social justice. We've got to let them do that. That's more important even than this. And I kind of went, what? But yet people are dying. There's no funerals. You can't be beside them when they go. And it's kind of like, ignorance gone to seed. And so there's a lot of things that as you look at them, you kind of go, that doesn't make sense, but they're using a language I don't understand, words I've never heard used in that context before, and so I'll just be quiet. And I want to encourage you to speak up, Ask them what they mean by that. If someone gives you a whole phrase of terms you haven't heard before, say, explain that to me. And then they go, why? Because everyone's got changing definitions of the words that they use. And so speaking up is crucial. I wanted to just basically talk a little bit there. I could go on and give you examples of where we see the left trying to rise up and just silence everything. Many of you, me included, we don't have access to all that's going on, and the news won't give us access to all that's going on. So whatever they put in the news looks as though that's the direction the country's going. And I've got news for you. The news isn't news. Okay, so once you realize that, then you can stop giving up and going, well, they just want us to pack our tent and just back off and be quiet. And that's exactly right. And that's what we don't do. We speak up. We get involved in the process. And I wanted to talk about the power of one. I was in the Holy Land a few years ago, and I was one of the speakers, and another gentleman was a speaker. And he had written this book. We'd both written books. He'd written one called The Power of One. And so we had the good discussions, and I started reading through this book, and it was just an amazing reminder to remember that we keep thinking that if they have a bigger committee than ours, they're going to win. We keep thinking if they have more votes than us, they're going to win. We keep thinking if the polls are saying they're ahead, they're going to win. And there's like this attack on believers for your faith. And I want to challenge you today that you don't let your faith go for change and for things to go in the right direction. Isaiah 46 and verse 9, I want to read it to you because it's just a powerful portion of Scripture. It says, remember the former... Can you hear me okay back there? Okay. It says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no one else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. When you study God's word, you kind of have this graph that people drift towards God's in control. He'll look after everything. To the other side, God's doing nothing and we got to do it all on our own. And I think that we've got to get back to knowing that, yes, if you ask me, is God in control? The question's not direct enough. If you ask me, is God in control of your life? I'll go, absolutely. Was God in control of my life? I have no idea. And so when you look at the Word of God, there's all these gorgeous verses that talk about His faithfulness, what He's going to do. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 6, God introduces Himself to Moses as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, pronouncing His eternal ability, His eternal design. And He's handling three different individuals in three different dispensations separately, and yet His will is getting done through three generations. Just naming one person. I want to talk to you about the power of one. Now, I'm not taking back everything I've taught about teams, everything I've taught about working together. I'm not taking back anything that we can do way more as we come together. But you need to understand something. All through the Bible runs this teaching of one. One. And when you recognize it, you recognize how powerful one person can be to change a nation. God had His will being done through Abraham. We don't have Him preaching to great crowds of people or toppling governments through His wisdom. He was just being Abraham. And then we have Isaac, his son, that the promise was to Isaac. And Isaac wasn't out being a missionary from country to country. And I'm just, you know, he was just living his life with the blessing on his life and believing his God. And then you go on, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that third generation, that promises of God are still with them. And he's talking about one person, Jacob. And Jacob is going, and we don't, he's not an evangelist. He's not a prophetic voice from city to city that we keep thinking we have to do. He simply is believing his God and living his life. And as he reaches things, he refuses to back down about God. None of these men backed away from God. They would just, if something arose, they dealt with it. If there was an army, they attacked knowing God was on their side. If they had to make decisions, they knew the things that God had talked to them about that he would guide them in. And so it's important that we know that you as an individual can make a stunning difference. Just you speaking up. You don't know who you're speaking to. Think about Philip, who's out preaching, having a great revival, and God just says, I want you to go to this city. And he meets one person in a chariot. And that one person in a chariot is reading the Bible. So he starts running along beside him. Hey, yeah, do you know what you're reading? No, in fact, I've been hoping I could get someone to explain. Let me, and he hops in the chariot. And he just explains one concept to him. One man in one chariot talking to another man, probably only had time for one concept out of that Old Testament. And then baptized him and he let him go. I wish the New Testament would have maintained the book of Acts through that man, because the book of Acts is the Acts of the Apostles. And it only lists a few of them. But history tells us that that man took that chariot back and the stunning things that went on as God got involved with that country because of one man. Today, we have too much put preachers on a pedestal. We've too much put TV evangelists and prophets and apostles as though they're going to change the world. We are, but we're changing the world through the presence of God teaching you so that you rise up and be who God's made you to be. And then you can understand the power of one. You never know who you're talking to. And how that one coffee lineup, as you're chatting with somebody and you have an opportunity to share your faith, you have an opportunity to share your hope, an opportunity, all you might be able to say is, well, I don't know, I go to church on Sunday, man, and I'm telling you, it picks my emotions up off the deck and it helps me to get up and go on just hearing someone teach God's word. Come on by it. Who knows what you're going to say? Maybe you can sit down and share your testimony about what God has done with one person. It's remarkable to me that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is Jesus, and the majority of these books and his miracles is to one person. It's even hard to find his messages to the crowds. Well, you can find some of the things he teaches and he'll explain them to the disciples afterwards, but it's hard to find cohesive, you know, the introduction of his message, and this is the climax of his message, and this is the conclusion of his message, and you wrap it all up. You find this array of thoughts that are scattered, but over and over, he ministers to one person. And you know, over the last year and a half, as you, I have been praying. I have been believing God. God, I got kids and I got grandkids, and we need to deal with whatever's going on here, and we need to move on. So what are we dealing with on the healthcare side? What are we dealing with on the virus side? What are we dealing with on the government side? Where's the church in all of this? What do we stand? What do we believe? What do we do? Where do we gather information? And as you pray and as you seek God, you know, I didn't get these incredible prophetic, do these things. It was, I just do what God already told me to do. Get up, be me. Get up and use the call of God on my life and continue to build what he told me to do. He hasn't changed it because there's a few obstacles. He hasn't changed it. What's on me is still on me. And the Bible says the gifts of God are without repentance. meaning what's on you is on you. And so the fivefold ministry, we've almost made them the heroes of the church world today. You know, we'll go to conferences with an apostolic preaching machine. We'll go to conferences and we want to hear a prophetic word about the future. Well, read your Bible and believe it. That's your best prophetic word. And I'm not saying that these people can't help us, but I'm just saying that when you look at all this, we've raised them up, and what it's done is it's made us have a professional clergy and a rookie laity. And that's wrong. The word laity is not even in the Bible. Clergy? Where do we get the heroes? We're just supposed to serve people by teaching them and showing them. And as they hear God's word, they should rise up and they share, and they go to the hospitals and they lay hands on people and they build businesses and they sit in governments and they sit down at tables, and the wisdom that comes out of you is stunning and amazing. But if we just allow this kind of religiosity to continue, well, then what's the pastors doing? What are the preachers doing? What are the TV evangelists doing? What are you doing? And I have good news for you. Unless he tells you to, you don't have to do anything so incredibly, wildly, bizarrely hard. And if he does, he'll anoint you for it, and he'll tick you off to do it. There's two keys to your anointing: what you love and what makes you mad. And so, as all of us just say, God, use me. And I can write a letter, I can make a phone call, I can go down to a coffee shop, and while I'm waiting for my coffee and a guy talks, I can share. And as you start sharing with people, this power of one goes to work. Now, this is probably a big problem in my life, because I'm continually trying to think about how to handle crowds. What am I going to speak on the Miracle Channel? What's the message I want for Canada and the world? What am I going to speak on Sunday? And because on Sunday I got to speak to all these people, and it goes to Calgary, and it goes on. But when you talk to one person, I find it very easy. Just like you do. One person sits down, starts sharing their heart with you or a problem with you. And as they're talking to you, just one, when you're done, you kind of go, dang, that was good. Wow, where did that come out of me? Like, you just say, they start asking me questions, Leon, and I just had answers. I knew what to say. Those powerful moments can never be duplicated in an auditorium. Now, the auditorium has its place, and the television channel has its place, but the greatest hindrance to Canada is that people sitting in the auditorium have lost their place. We need you just to talk to one person, just one. And as you do, there's this incredible, stunning impact that takes place. You know, I was reading a report, and they said that when you get one person born again, you have helped 80 people make it to heaven. And the way they get that is that if one person makes a decision for Christ in their lifetime, at least, and there's some that'll be way beyond that, when it comes to their cousins, who they marry, their kids, their grandkids, their kids' friends, you know, their sister-in-law, about 80 people are impacted for Christ and will follow Christ when you just share your hope with one person. And the more that I begin to look at all this, I said, God, thank you. And I believe he's given us wisdom on how to take these organizations through where we've been and where we're going. But I can't ever seem to shake off this thing about we need everybody just doing what you are good at. So, well, what is that? How do I know? Well, I don't have any gifts. You're wrong. You've been lied to. There are people that'll listen to you that can't stand me. There are people who will talk to your wife that won't talk to you. God knows all these things. And he is busy at work setting up situations for one person. And that one person that you share with, it's going to have an impact on their life. You don't have to close the deal right there. You should try if you can, but if it's just a few words. But these one-on-ones have a tremendous impact on our nation. Now, let me explain to you something that is, it's a powerful basic, but it's necessary if you understand this. How do you get somebody saved? It's a good question. We try to convince them where dinosaurs come from. We try to convince them evolution. We try to convince them about certain things. And I'm not against that. I think that if that's a passion for you, guess who's coming your way? Someone who that's going to touch their life. But when you share the gospel according to the Bible, let me read you a verse from the Phillips translation of Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. It says, belief, you see, can only come from hearing the message, and the message is the word of Christ. When you share the message of Christ, whatever way that is, it could just be, you know, that you're a man of few words and you work with this guy. You're a man of your word. You say what you do. You're not condescending. You don't talk much. But guess who's attracted to you? Guys like that. One day, you know, you get a chance to just say something. Whatever you say, you are literally taking, you know, if this cup was to signify the faith that is needed for a complete transformation of your inner man and becoming born again. When you share the gospel, he doesn't realize it because he doesn't understand the spirit world. You are reaching out and you are putting faith into him to get born again. Now he has to make a decision. And I don't know where people think about when it comes to faith that, well, let's convince them, let's do this. Please do all that. You know, have a talk about church. Bring them out to church. I told you guys 27 years ago, you get them here, I'll get them saved. But there's more to it than that. And anytime you get to share, so that guy who doesn't talk much and he meets you and you're a quiet guy, and after finishing the project, he's sitting around and he goes, how come you don't curse about your wife? Who knows? What are the things guys talk about? And the guy says, you know, I was a mess, dude, until I made a decision with my life. And whichever way it comes out of you, because of the Holy Spirit upon that person that you're working with, focusing them on you, and he's watching you because God knows that the things that you exhibit is what he needs to open his heart to the gospel. God's so incredible that you don't have to go, well, he needs to meet my pastor. No, he doesn't. If I meet him, it's wah, wah. But he's watched you and he trusts you and you're a man of your word and you do. And so then the words that you speak cause this faith to just, and this man begins to believe in God because you've shared the gospel. So Leon, this is such basic stuff. I don't think so. I think the Church of Jesus Christ around the world has missed this. I really do. I think that somehow the early church, through the first 100 years when Jesus left, was a force that was so unstoppable that one man would turn a city upside down for God. And today, 93 churches in 25 denominations. Did you know that over 90% of the churches in Canada don't get one person born again in 12 months? Those are the stats. So this thing about sharing the gospel, well, come on, man, that's pretty basic. You go ahead and just think that we can change the whole world with just good government. No, government changes all the time. The will of the people and the whim of whatever's going on. I want good government. But the church has a job to do, and that is to begin to share one at a time. And sometimes we get too numbers focused. You know, it's like I talk with my kids because so many of them now are teaching and preaching and leading, and they'll tell me, you know, we'll talk. I preached in Calgary, or I preached in Winnipeg, and what'd you talk about? How did it go? And you can just hear this gift growing in them. But when I really find them motivated and touched, is I talked to a guy after church. And then they start telling me the story of how his wife had passed away and what he had done as alcohol destroyed his life. And they begin to go through this whole story because now it's one. They're talking to one. And they're just lit up far beyond what it does just to preach a message to hundreds or thousands of people. And I really want to somehow, I don't know how, I just get something happening in you that God knows you and He knows what's in you. And He's not as dumb as to send a screwdriver to do a hammer's job. He's not so stupid as to send an electric drill to go do a hammer's job. If someone walks into your life, it's what's in you that that person is going to be absolutely impacted by. Something in them is going to open the door to their heart, and the words that you speak are going to deliver. And it's going to deliver Jesus. It's going to deliver the gospel. And that person's going to come to know Christ. My dad trained me in this. This guy, some of you knew him. He was a soul winner. Oh, man. You'd walk into a hospital. He didn't just pray with the first guy on the bed. By the time he got done praying and he was too loud, and I'd try to shush him down, and the guy would say, "Well, no, I don't know Jesus." Well, what, let me pray the prayer with you. Really? You can do that? I can get Jesus in your heart if you'll pray it. Really? Want to do it right now? Let's talk about clothes. Then he'd pray with this man, and before he walked out, and I'm looking at the nurses going by, and they're going, you know, it's a little bit loud, and it's making it a little uncomfortable, and you know, I'm just this young guy, and I'm kind of watching, and then all of a sudden I go, Father, can I talk with you? Four guys in this one room, one time, and he'd walk over to the second bed and say, yes. And this guy had a completely different problem. And all he might do is just love on him. I don't know. Just led by the Spirit. And he'd lead this guy. That one day I often talk for all four guys, because he went from bed to bed. Now, the fourth guy didn't say, Father, come here. Dad just walked over because he was like on a roll. And he said, did you want prayer before I go? Please, would you? And it always showed me the power of one. And as he trained me in a little church in Selkirk, and he was in Porcupine Plains, Saskatchewan, then he was in Weldon, Saskatchewan, then he came to Selkirk. You know, when I came to Springs in 94, and we just saw the explosion of what God was doing here, and through all of us together, it was stunning. It was unseen in my life, and even when I've traveled. But he never got a church past a couple hundred. And you can kind of look at that and think, well, you know, no. Jesus was always talking to one person. In fact, most of us, when we read all four books, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, feel like there's about 17 individuals that are recorded from a different angle, from this guy or that guy. And so my challenge to you is, as you go, you know, the Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Actually, when you look at that, you could read it this way, and I like it this way. As you're going, share your faith, share your hope. And sometimes, and I'm not against the four spiritual laws or the Romans road. You know, I think those tracts had their place, and I think they're a good thing to study, to take a look at it. But I could never do that. I couldn't can the gospel. I'd sit down with a guy and talk motorbikes for an hour for a three-minute talk about Jesus. And by then, I'd have him wide open for God. You know what I mean? I'd sit down with somebody and talk hockey. We'd be laughing and fist bumping and buying another coffee. And then at some point, what in the world do you do, man? I've been coming to this, and I just start talking. And all of us are brilliant at being spirit contemporary, which is spiritually alive, but contemporary based on who you're talking to. And if you don't, people won't make heaven. Wow, Leon, don't blame me. I'm not doing a guilt trip. I'm just saying that he knows the people that you need to talk to, because he knows what's in you, what you've done. He knows what you've studied or haven't studied. And I rarely find answering anybody's question has ever got them saved. It's usually how I answer the questions that gets them saved. It's usually that kind of a thing. Canada is in a crisis. And yes, we're going to do our best to finance television channels and to get behind those who will be good government leaders. Yes, yes, yes. But the more I look and plan and do that, the more I have this vacancy in my spirit that goes, the Church of Jesus Christ is to deliver the gospel to the world. And the Bible says very clearly, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for the Jew first, and also for the Greek, literally meaning every person that's not a Jew. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And as I continued, okay, well, what's happening now? What's going on over here? And what's happening in this? I'd always come back to, I live by faith, which means the promises are mine. I declare God's promises. But I got news for you. It's easier around a city of people that believe God's promises. It's easier in a nation of people believing God's promises. Now, if I have to do it alone, I'll do it. Lots of examples of doing it. But I'd rather do it with a whole bunch of people around me believing God's promises. Now, let me give you an unlooked at verse that might excite you. Well, maybe it won't. Verse 18 of Romans chapter 1 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth." That's Old Testament, Leon. Nope. Romans chapter 1. Okay? Right after this great gospel verse. In other words, if you will do your part, just every day as you're going, show God's love. Recognize you can be that good Samaritan. Recognize that you can just encourage that girl at the checkout counter. Recognize if you're sitting down with somebody and you're going to go, what should I talk about? What should I talk about? Well, what do you normally talk about? Cars. Then talk cars. At some point, it'll get around to, does Jesus drive a Honda? I don't know how you're going to do it, but guys who talk cars know how to transition that. Well, I usually talk about my grandkids. He's going to bring someone to you who needs someone about her grandkids. Like, God is setting up all kinds of unique, powerful, and potent connections of one. So how are we going to topple? You don't need to topple that. God says that his wrath is revealed from heaven, and it's against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth. There's people out there today who have bought into the evil kingdom, and they're trying to suppress it and stop, and don't let churches rise up, and we don't want to talk about, well, you can talk to me about Jesus. Like, they try to mock us and make Christians. If they can make Christians embarrassed about what they believe, we'll be quiet. And I have noticed that when I talk with Christians, they don't know how to share Jesus in a way that they're kind of embarrassed. And you've heard me, I know when I preach, I'll bring it up the odd time and say, well, like how do you tell somebody, do you believe in heaven? Like, how do you tell somebody there's a heaven? Like, do angels have halos? Does the devil have a pitchfork? And how do you get past that? Well, if you believe the Word of God, I'm sure they could tell you of horrid things they've seen. Well, if you're a fireman, a nurse, or a doctor, or a paramedic, or a police officer, we can tell you stories that we can't tell you, because it'll curl your hair of the evil that people can do to somebody else. And so I'm not ashamed, and Holy Spirit guides me, and the ones he brings to me are the ones I'm supposed to talk to, the ones, one on one. And my challenge to you today is, yes, you have to make decisions, and I believe God will guide you. I don't have the four steps to making wise decisions about what do you do in this kind of a career situation. God will guide you, and be at peace. You don't keep other people around you happy. It's your life. Make a decision. As far as I'm concerned, make your decision. I'll make my decision. We'll still be friends. You're going to vote for this party or that party, and I'm not going to be upset. I'm just glad you're involved in the process, because if we're involved in the process, at some point we're all going to go in the right direction. I'm firmly telling you today that because you heard me talk about this today, tonight or tomorrow, you're already going to have your first chance. Or someone's going to come to your mind that you know you should call. And just do it naturally. If I phone somebody up I haven't been thinking about, I just say, "Hey, Bob, yeah, what's up? I don't know. I was just thinking about you." It's the truth. "You're kidding me." And he'll tell me what's going on. Or, "Yeah, I'm doing fine. Everything's good." But yet God still uses it. Like, we've made this ministering to people so complicated, as though, you know, someone like Leon, he can just talk to anybody. No, I can't. The vast majority of people don't even want to talk to me. In fact, they see me coming, it's kind of like, "Ooh, Jesus, away they go." But you, they'll talk to. And if we all begin to reach out to the people around us, you see, Leon, that sounds like an oversimplification of the things we're struggling with today. No, actually, that's the long game I'm talking to you about. There's a short game, there's a long game. The long game is, we are totally screwed, period, if the church doesn't rise up and be the church. You can vote all you want, change all you want, do all you want, and without Christ at the center of our homes, our marriages, and without us sharing it like the early church did. And when you read of the early church and you see the stunning success, I mean, when the Apostle Paul speaks for 2 years at the school of Tyrannus and then says, "All of Asia's reached." What? What in the world? When you start doing the numbers and the math, he was just sharing and the place wasn't huge. And so, you talking to one person could reach a whole family. You talking to one person could be 3 degrees separation from talking to the key person in the whole problem in the nation. You just share, all of us just refusing to be quiet. All of us refusing to feel like, "Oh gosh, golly, shucks, gee, I just got my grade 12 and that's all." Listen to me, I'm not impressed with most of the graduate degrees that are out there in university. Recognize that you and we, we're not dumb. God's got an intelligence in us. And so let's make a decision to share Jesus. And now, what do I do, Leon? The Bible says He will never leave you and He will never forsake you. And as you sit down and look at the decisions that are in front of you, make your decision. How do you know you're making a wrong decision? When you keep thinking about what someone's going to think about. Now, I would go up and preach a message. And then when I would sit down, God began to deal with me, because now this message, you're talking about this, and you kept wondering how so-and-so's taking it. If you're going to preach on healing and a friend's just lost a loved one, you're trying to preach the principles and you keep looking. If you're preaching on prosperity and you know that person's just gone through hell financially, and they're struggling even to believe. And so you're trying to preach. It's like, who is manipulating you? They're not even trying. You're getting manipulated. Because you're thinking about what's this person going to think about this. You're not making clean decisions now. And so I just want to challenge you that don't be put in a box by the people around you. Pray, seek God, you know, talk with people, make your decisions. And let's rise up and continue to believe God for the miraculous power of Jesus in our lives. Well, I feel like if I keep going, I'm going to just preach the same. Springs ahead of us are some of the most unbelievable times we are ever going to see. As I talk with pastors are trying to get a hold of me. Can we sit down together? Can we talk? Because they're struggling. Churches are struggling. People are struggling as never before. We've got the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I remember hearing a message decades ago, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And it is. But we've got Jesus. And there should be the greatest ingathering of souls. I'm believing, God, that we're going to go to multiple services and bigger buildings and in Calgary and here and television stations and networks. And people are going to be so hungry, because you can't stop. When people want something, you know, they're going to reach out and God's going to deliver. And so let's continue. And as kingdom builders, I want to say thank you. And thank you for giving. Because a lot of what these people are struggling through in ministries and parachurch ministries and churches is the financial side. And it's discouraging for them. But you know what? Every person's going to have to deal. You deal with it in your career and stuff, and so do ministry leaders. And what we've seen God do here is just amazing. As we've not just escaped unscathed, we've risen up and taken the gospel to the world in a powerful way, because you care, because you believe. You're not making all you can, canning all you make, and sitting on the can because we're going through a bad situation. No, you didn't do that. Because of that, a lot of people made heaven. One person said to me, well, I guess we got a pretty good crowd on our social media, eh? And I said, you think our social media is our only reach? I said, the things that we put out there on Miracle Channel across the nation and around the world in English. It's going across, 50 some countries in Spanish. Now, it's also on the Hillsong Channel, and it's going around the world, and it's on TBN, and they're pirating it in places and just telling us, we're just taking that signal. We have no idea of where it's going, other than we know this. Over the years, about 1% of the people that come to our services make a decision for Christ. And when you start doing the math, a whole lot of people made heaven in the last year and a half, as so many just shut down. And, well, we'll just try to keep going. Well, the buildings aren't the church anyway. The people are. So whether we go out inside of a jumbo screen or whether we go out and stand in a snowbank and I just find a guitar, the church is the church. We're going to reach out and do things for people. So thank you to you kingdom builders. You're here in this room, first of all, because you believe that the only hope of this world is the gospel. Now, whatever your end time belief is, remember this. When our job is done, let's go home. But until then, we're not going, well, the church is going down. That's nowhere in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible. And so let's believe God. And inside of me is just like we have already in so many areas risen into ascendancy and encouraged so many pastors, denominations, people who have been watching this drive in and just love the fact that with the breath coming out of his mouth and the guys wearing snowmobile suits up to their noses and they can see the mustaches, with a frozen ice on them and a buffalo jacket or whatever. They were just so inspired by people who just wouldn't quit. And so I'm so proud of, in a good way, our church and our volunteers and the people who gave and the people who rose up. And I don't know about you, but I just hang around you guys and I already feel better. When you hang around champions, when you hang around people who believe, there's a transference of spirits. Have you ever been around a person who's really down for a little bit of time? You got to clean that off almost. Ever hang around with somebody, when you get done, you kind of go, let's go do something now. Why? There's a transference. Years ago, as a young man, there was this Dr. Ness. I still remember his name. He wrote a book, The Transference of Spirits. And that's all we talked about. Who you hanging with? Who you sitting with? Who you doing business with? What's going on in your house? Why do we say peace be on the house? There's a transference that takes place. And that's why the Church of Jesus Christ is so powerful and so amazing. This and whatever bad is going down anywhere is going to crumble at some point. And I'm telling you, the word suddenly is a very biblical word. Suddenly. How many times do you see it all through the word? Suddenly. So watch for the suddenlies. And while you're standing and believing God, get up and in the midst of whatever you're going through, go share Jesus with somebody. Smile, transfer it to someone. The amount of suicides that we're seeing, the amount of people that are down and hurting and the things that are going on, you just bring some hope into their life and they're going to follow you anywhere. Bring people out to church. Just make it happen. Invite them. Say, you got to come, man. This is incredible. Just bring them out. And as you do, you will notice the incredible, miraculous things that God is doing. And if we as the kingdom builders begin to share our faith and invite people out and your friends hear about it, there is going to be this incredible, we used to call it in the old days, revival. Word's not in the Bible. And I don't believe that God breathes. I just believe somebody does something and it gets catchy. And all of a sudden, others hear, what did you do? I'm going to invite someone out. What did you do? Yeah, oh, I want to do that. And it just begins to catch. And there's something on Springs and on the ministries that we have that is amazing. I've got to tell you, I don't feel in any way that I made decisions or that I'm that amazing. I just feel like I'm in the middle of a crowd of faith-filled, amazing people, and I got to run just to stay in front so I look like the leader. I've got to just keep my faith rising up and going, come on, I got people in government over there, and I got people in finance over there, and I got moms raising kids over there, and people running schools over there, and we're finding new channels over here. I'll just be me and let God be you. And together, we're going to keep doing great things for God. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll give Jesus a hand. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you today. We thank you today that your word, it works. And I'm asking you right now for the situations that are in the room. I'm asking you, Father, for those who need a miracle of healing in their family. We speak life to Michael right now, health and healing, recovering from his surgery. Just thank you for the unique, amazing, incredible power of God. Father, we thank you for those in this room who are involved in government and leadership. Father, I just pray you surround them with the right friends. I just pray that they'd know that we're praying, we're believing. We have no idea what goes on behind the scenes. And so we just speak life and health and hope. Father, I pray for the businessmen and women that are here, the retired men and women that are here. I don't know what situation they're going through, but this one thing I know. You will never leave us or forsake us. You're not a fair weather God, and we're not fair weather people. Doesn't matter what goes on, you're going to take us through, you're going to see us through, and we're going to continue to praise you and thank you for the testimonies. And Father, I know one day we're going to stand before you sometime. And we're going to start to laugh and celebrate and rejoice with you, Jesus, at the incredible ingathering of souls that we were able to see to come into the kingdom, because each of us were simply true to our post, because each of us just did what was in us to do, because each of us, Father, just trusted you. We don't have to do everything, just what we're assigned. So, Father, I pray in this place today, an incredible spirit of hope and victory. I pray that the stories that we tell ourselves that discourage us, that we'll stop. And we'll start telling ourselves the story of Jesus. That I can run through a troop and I can leap over a wall. That his might and his strength is upon me. That when I wait upon him, he renews my energy and my strength. That more than Solomon, his wisdom is upon us. And the raising of our kids, the decision making. I thank you that you make our foreheads harder than the foreheads of everyone coming against us. Father, I thank you that it doesn't matter of a 1,000, Father, comes at us, or 10,000, we are anointed and appointed by you to stand our place on the wall and to hold it and to have victory and to move forward. Father, I declare you're going to, every one of us in this room right now is going to be personal soul winners. That, Father, it's going to be uniquely us. It's not going to be something canned or some track. It's going to be uniquely us reaching out and bringing hope to the people that are surrounding us. And I pray that you show us the people that are around us are already drifting towards us because you're sending them our way. Father, I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray Springs. Father, I pray this church. I just speak the favor of God upon it. I pray from the north, the south, the east, and the west. They're going to come in. They're going to drive in. They're going to line up again in our parking lots as never before. Father, I pray that we're going to have to go to extra services. I pray that, Father, digitally, I pray our footprint that, Father, goes out on social media, that, Father, we're going to touch more people than we ever dreamed possible because you want that. I pray, Father, for Miracle Channel. And I thank you right now that to whom much has been given, Father, much is going to be required. And so we just pray that second channel is going through and are reaching this entire nation, that Father, you're going to open doors that nobody is going to be able to close, because getting on television is one way to reach people that no one can seem to get to in Iran or in Afghanistan or wherever they are. So Father, we declare open doorways and we'll step through them. I pray for our school right now. Father, it's been a lighthouse to so many other schools and parents who are struggling. I pray, give us wisdom, Father, and how to do it. Father, I pray right now for our government here in Manitoba, that, Father, there are things that are changing and we're all aware of them. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus that, Father, the wisdom of God be upon those. We pray the favor of God, Father, that you move people into the right places for such a time as this, knowing there's year after year, decade after decade of things moving and changing. But Father, we ask you for right now, Father, move them in. For every believer that's in there, Father, I just pray that you shore them up. I just pray, Father, for those who might not know you, but they're great leaders. I pray that you touch them and give them hope. Father, in the name of Jesus, for our doctors, our nurses, our paramedics, Father, I thank you no spirit of fear will touch them. And all of us, we're just going to win souls. And Father, when the smoke clears, we're going to just celebrate and continue to declare, look what the Lord hath done. In the mighty name of Jesus, we declare it and we stand in agreement on this. Amen and amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Encourage one another. My dad's pastor told me this. He said, encouragement is the greatest gift. I think Barnabas, I think that name means son of encouragement, right? And wherever you go, encourage people, encourage people, encourage one another. You got to confront somebody, encourage them first, encourage them after. Encourage, encourage, encourage. That's what's not happening. And that's what will be just the amazing attraction everywhere we go. People are going to just want to come out of your place for coffee. I found out I only got 25 of these. Do something. And so, where's Lynn or somebody? Where do they pick these up, Sherry? There you are. Okay, so if we don't get one to you because you're those partiers that never leave like me, and you don't get one, there's more coming in. We're going to write your name down, right, Lynn? And Lynn's going to hand deliver it to your house or wherever you are in the world on holidays. All right, so thank you for coming out and just hanging out. And want to thank you for your giving. Thank you for praying about the things you're going to do. And whatever you're sending, we're going to use for the gospel. It's going to translate into souls. So thank you, thank you. You don't have to go. I am now going to put the dessert away, man. Oh, okay. Now I can have my desserts and my coffees. And so I'm going to have that. So I'm going to be around. I'd love to chat and visit. It's a party late. And so you're welcome to stay. Pick up your book when you go. And is there any other announcements I need to make? Or we actually, one of the things we were going to tell you was that we are now, the Miracle Channel, second channel is on here, correct, Jeff? Yes. Where do they go to get that one? Get Bell. It's on 1514 Bell. Let me explain to you something that's going on right now. God is setting us up with a second channel. We have that first one that goes across the nation. And so we have now started with a second one, and in the rules and the regulations are we can only do took about 250,000 people. Then you have to do this for so many months, and you can go to 1,000,000. And then, so we're with Bell. Then we're going to go, and we've got this plan to take this thing across the nation and saturate this country so far beyond. Because there's so many ways to do TV. We can, you know what I mean? You can get through satellite. Give them to me, David. You get it through satellite. You can get it through cable. There's so many ways. And we just want to get every possible way we can and get it out there. And so that's what's happening right now. It's available right now there. And be praying for us. Be believing with us. And we're going to continue to saturate this nation. And one of the things I wrote down to say, so I'll say it quickly. In a world where media can't be trusted, in a world where journalism is no longer journalism, it's search and destroy, where do you go to hear truth? And the world's going to find those people who speak truth. And I believe that we can be one of them. And so Miracle Channel and our church and the things that we create and make and send out, we want them to begin to go to it. So one of the shows we just started doing, I think we've just done our third one, is called Return to Reason. It's not a Christian show. By that I mean we're not preaching, we're not using the word, we're talking about issues, okay? Because as a pastor, and even as Miracle Channel, we're not licensed for me to work the political party thing, so. But I can talk about issues all day long. And so that's what we're doing with this. I think the one that is there right now, if you go to leonfontaine.com, it's in a lot of places, and we're opening it up to more and more. The one that just came out is called CRT. You need to see that. Holy mackerel, are they trying to get into the schools with this thing and destroy. And then before that, we did censorship. And you need to know how much you've been censored. And you can't make decisions without the truth, the whole truth. And that's why censorship is so evil. And the first one, who remembers what the first one was? Anyway, there's three there. And we're making more. I'm taping another one tomorrow. We've got, you know, people are researching and getting things. You're hearing from people around the world who are experts in these areas as we go to a video of them and what they're saying. So that it's just a great 30 minutes of nailing this topic so that you're aware of it. And I believe that one of the things that we've been asked to do is let His people be aware. Get the information out. Where can we go for truth? And we want to be that. So, all right. Done. Bless you guys. Hang around and have some more coffee, okay?
I wondered if you wanted to put the spiel about we've never...